Good morning.
If you would, open your Bibles up to 1 John 5. We're going to read 4 through 5. 1 John 5, 4 through 5. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is it that gets to know the victory? Is it you? Is it me? Is it this church? Tomorrow night, the NCAA will crown a men's national basketball champion. Someone will know victory. Over the past 3 weeks or so, many people throughout the country have been glued to their television sets, watching basketball. Many of us in here maybe even tried to pick the winners of those games, filling out our brackets at our house. We do that. Eric, Olivia, Amy, and I, we fill out our brackets to determine who a victor will be in trying to select that process. And the winner gets to go out and eat at the place of their choice. Well, when West Virginia got beat last night, let's just say I'm going to Chuck E. Cheese. Many of us here enjoy watching basketball. We enjoy watching athletic contests. And yes, there's probably many of us in here who really don't care about athletics. But I'd like to do something today that I believe is consistent. It's consistent with the teachings of Paul and what we can find in the Bible, and that is to spend a little time this morning comparing our Christian walk with athletics. Paul often compared discipline and self-control in the Christian life to the same characteristics needed in the area of sports. And I won't go through these slides, but here are just some passages from 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians that deal with this comparison. I spend a great deal of my time working with coaches, working with athletes, working with teams. In fact, what I do for a living is try to use sport to teach life lessons at every level of sport. One thing that I'm always looking for is the difference. The difference between what great coaches do and what other coaches do. What great athletic teams do and other athletic teams. What's the difference from great? What gets someone on the top rung of that podium? And not just what gets them there one time, but what consistently brings them back. Let me give you an example. Let's say a great coach puts a sign on his bulletin board that says, "Play like a champion today." A great coach puts that sign on their bulletin board. We might conclude that putting that motivational sign on that bulletin board that reads, "Play like a champion today," will lead me to greater success. However, what if I told you that same motivational sign can be found throughout locker rooms all across the country? In locker rooms of great teams and locker rooms of poor teams. We would conclude that that's really not something done different. Not that putting up a motivational sign is bad, but it's just not what is different. What if we took a look at the church in the same way? What if we began asking ourselves, what is it the great Christians do differently? What it is the great church leaders do differently? What it is the great churches do differently? I wonder how we would answer that. Would we relate it to church attendance? Would we relate it to our meeting times? Would we relate it to holding a gospel meeting? Or would we go beyond that? Would our answer take us beyond those things? Let me tell you, in athletics, what I've been able to find out. What great does differently has very little to do with X's and O's, and a lot more to do with the Jills and the Joes. It has very little to do with game strategy, what great teams do differently. It has little to do with practice time, and everything to do with the people involved. In the end, what I believe is the most important factor in what great coaches, athletes, and teams do differently is related to their development of mindset. I want us to consider some things this morning, and to do that, I want to take a little test. If you believe the statement is true, I'd like for you to give yourself 2 points. If you believe the statement is false, I'd like for you to give yourself 1 point. First question, and that really didn't come across very well on my slide, but you can still read it. You have a certain amount of intelligence, and you can't really do much to change it. If you believe it, give yourself 2 points. If that statement's false, give yourself a point. You can learn new things, but you can't really change your basic intelligence. Believe it, give yourself 2. False, give yourself 1. You have a certain amount of talent, and you can't really do much to change it. 2, 1. You can learn new things, but you can't really change your basic level of talent. 2, 1. Whether these statements are true or not really doesn't matter. What matters is what you consider to be the truth. Mindsets are beliefs. Beliefs about yourself and your personal traits. People with a mixed mindset believe that their talents, their traits, are a given. People with a growth mindset, on the other hand, see their qualities as something that can be developed through their dedication, through their effort. So how'd you score? Score 6, 7, and 8? Fixed mindset. Score 4 or 5? Growth mindset. What we find in great coaches, great athletes, great teams is that they have a growth mindset, or we call it a victory mindset. So what about us today? What about us as Christians today? I believe that we are commanded to have a growth mindset or a victory mindset. When one becomes a child of God, he is born again spiritually, becoming a spiritual babe who is to grow. One grows spiritually by feeding upon the Word of God, developing a spiritual appetite in order to hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you've got your Bibles, let's go to 2 Peter 1. We're going to look at 5 through 11. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you may be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, even more, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Add, add, add. grow, grow, grow. Virtue or goodness. It's been said that this word also incorporates spiritual courage. It is that ability, that desire to stand up, to display what is right in a declining moral society. Add that. Add knowledge. The knowledge of God and of His ways as He teaches us through His Word the events of everyday life. Add. Add self-control. Peter tells us to add self-control to our faith. And that goes hand in hand with diligence. With discipline. Add perseverance. Grow in perseverance. You know, as the saying goes, by perseverance the snail reached the ark. You've ever heard that? I've heard it, and I've always wondered, perseverance for the animal that was behind the snail trying to enter the ark. This is a characteristic that is lacking in our generation. We live in an instant society, and perseverance and patience is not exactly in. Godliness or God-likeness. It is a life of holiness. In many ways, it encompasses all of these things that we are wanting to add and to grow in. Brotherly kindness. The Greek word here is Philadelphia. Simple, old-fashioned, practical caring and kindness for others. Add that. Grow in that. Love. Greek word here is agape, which is the type of love that God shows to us. An unconditional love. Not just a loving the lovable type of love, or loving those that will love you back. It's that no strings attached type of love. So Peter says, make every effort, apply all diligence, add to your faith. Add, add, add. Grow, grow, grow. So what does that word diligent mean? It means to simply apply earnest care. Careful, constant effort. So let me ask you, are you diligent? Could you compare your diligence to a great athlete? Could we compare our diligence to a great team? If not, we would maybe want to stop and consider Hebrews 11:6. Which tells us that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Do you have that Olympic type of diligence? Here, let's think about it this way. Add to your faith the courage of David. Add to the courage of David the knowledge of Solomon. And to the knowledge of Solomon, the patience of Job. And to the patience of Job, add the godliness of Daniel. And to the godliness of Daniel, the brotherly kindness of Jonathan. And the brotherly kindness of Jonathan, the love of John. What great does different, great also keeps swimming. That's the victory mindset. It says, move forward. So Peter tells us to add these things to our faith, and it must be noted that when we are not pressing forward in these things, we seldom just stay still. Great athletes understand that if they are not moving forward, they're actually moving backwards. At that same time, and that's the same for us, as Christians. Because the Christian life is one that when you swim, you're not swimming in a swimming pool, you're swimming against the tide of temptation. And that's a strong tide. If we stop swimming in this Christian life, then the natural consequence is to be taken in a direction that the tide is going. A victory mindset also keeps our eye on the goal. What great athletes do differently is set long-range goals and keep focused on that goal. 2 Peter 1:9 says, but if anyone lacks, or but does anyone not have them, these added qualities. He is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sin. So Peter mentions here that some Christians may be nearsighted or blind if they are not adding, if they are not growing. What problems does a nearsighted person have? Well, it's pretty simple. They can see things right here. They just can't see things out there. They can see the here and now, but they can't see the things that deal with eternity. They cannot see the most important things in life are those things that they add, which brings them eternal life. Peter also says that a growth mindset keeps us from having a bad memory. They have forgotten that they have been cleansed from their sins. They have forgotten the enormous price that Jesus paid to save them. Don't ever forget to remember what Jesus did for you. Be great and fight complacency. Do you want to receive that rich home in heaven? Well, you've got to see it. You've got to see it. A victory mindset can help you get there. 2 Peter 1:8 says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." So Peter shows us that by adding these things, by adding and growing in these characteristics, on the negative side, he's saying it's going to keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. But on the positive side, it's going to say you're going to be effective. You're going to be productive. In other words, you will be useful. Useful to the Lord. Do you like the sound of that? My servant, you are useful to me. Verse 10 through 11. "Therefore, my brethren, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." How do you get it? How do you get this victory mindset? How does it occur? What do great athletes do differently? And it's not rocket science. They simply start where they're at right now. They want to be better today than what they were yesterday. To do this, they begin where they are at right now. Athletes don't say, well, we're going to, great athletes don't say, we're going to wait till tomorrow to get started. They don't say, hey, we're going to wait till our coach does this and we'll get started. They don't say, we're going to wait for our team to do this and then get started. Well, what about us? What about us as Christians? What about us as a body of believers that meets right here in North Kansas City? Are we ready to start? Or do we say, now let's wait till tomorrow. Let's wait till our preacher does this. Let's wait till our elders do that. Let's wait till our church does this. No, let's wait until I get this read or I have this experience. Great athletes build. They build on where they're at today. Remember the first time you rode a bike? Remember that first time you rode a bike? Remember the second time you rode a bike? Third time, I've got a great story. I rode a bike. I lived in southern Indiana growing up. I had a brother who's 8 years older than I. He taught me how to ride a bike. And I was pretty old. I had not learned when I was real young. And Tim had gotten a 10-speed bicycle. And that was my training bike. And I was 8 years younger. So I couldn't sit on the seat. I had to sit on the bar. I hadn't experienced foot brakes. I had my first experience with hand brakes or on the handlebars. Now, you know, in a community where the hill has a name, it's a pretty good hill. And I learned how to ride a bike on Chair Factory Hill. And you know those visions of parents running behind their child holding the bike seat, and that may have been you. And then you let the child go, maybe it's a couple pedals, and then you grab a hold. Now, my brother didn't believe in that concept. So I remember my first time very well. But what do when we learn how to ride a bike? We capture the memory of how I was successful the last time and build upon it the next time. And then we use that memory. And we start talking to ourselves as we're riding that bike. Stay balanced, pedal, pedal, pedal. When I stop, make sure I put my feet down. That's self-talk. Great athletes have self-talk. And let's say this, changing a mindset is not like surgery. You can't simply go in and remove a fixed mindset and replace it with a growing mindset. You must work at it. Maybe that is why we read in James chapter 1:1-4. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Great athletes, coaches, remember the last time and try to improve from where they at. They have a great internal dialogue. What's your internal dialogue? Great athletes believe that they invite into their lives those things which they focus upon. What are we inviting to our lives? What are we focusing upon? And we better consider this when we're talking about internal talk and vision. And that's Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. As Christians, what is our self-talk like? Hopefully it includes Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You have to answer that. As you face a challenge, is your self-talk saying, if I don't try, I can protect myself. And in protecting myself, I can protect my dignity. Or is our self-talk saying this? If I don't try, I automatically fail. And what's the godliness in that? What is our self-talk like? As Christians, we have a distinct advantage. We have a distinct advantage over athletes, over other professions, when we want to consider this idea of growth mindset. As Christians, our distinct advantage can be found in the first four verses of this chapter. It tells us of the divine nature of our Lord and Savior. And it becomes the source of our hope. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, making one's calling and election sure. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And then what's He go on in verse 5 to say? He starts that by saying, for this reason, His divine power has given us everything we need. For this reason. Now there are many, many religions in the world today that will tell you to add the things we're talking about. They'll tell you to add. They'll tell you to grow. But only in Christianity does the one who asks for these characteristics to be manifest in our lives also dwell in us to give us the strength to Adam to grow. To get this impact of what advantage we have to create this growth mindset. Stop and think about what you couldn't do without our Lord. You couldn't do these things. You could not effectively and thoroughly know your lost condition. You could not do that. Without Him, you could not have adequate concepts of God. Without Him, you could not realize, you could realize no victory over sin. Without Him, you would be a victim. A victim to the wrath to come. Jesus said to His disciples, "Without Me, you can do nothing." John 15:5. So with Christ, we have strength. Our internal voice should be strong. Strength is strength that is adequate to evaluate ourselves. Strength to know the difference between right and wrong and act upon it. Strength to response in prayer. One, to offer to God through Him those things that we would like. But also the strength to understand those things that don't come our way as we would like. And the strength to grow in mindset. In a few seconds, we're going to have an invitation song. I guess I would ask this. As we think about victory, when we think about what great does different, when we think about success as Christians, when we think about those things leading us to eternal life, salvation, I would say, where are we today? Can we see the need to keep adding to our faith, which we know is key to overcoming the world? Are we seeking victory both individually and collectively? Are we adding or are we drifting? Are we swimming or are we drifting? In athletics, what great does differently is start now, where we are at. What about you this morning? Are you ready to start a life championing the cause of Christ, knowing that through Him, all things are possible? Well, victory is possible this morning. You can start adding. You can start adding this morning. You can start growing this morning. You can start doing it right now. Victory is possible. Victory is here. It can be found in God's Word. I hope the lesson was beneficial for you this morning in some form or fashion. But I would challenge you to have that victory mindset, to grow, to have greater understanding, to add, grow. We're going to have the invitation song at this time. If you're subject in any way, won't you please come while we sing.